Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
a conversation show where we talk to Milwaukee's arts, cultural, and creative leaders to highlight all the incredible transformative work in our region.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you will see our region and all the awesome artists, arts organizations, and creative assets in Milwaukee in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
I'm MacArthur Antigua.
And I'm Lindsay Sheridan.
Welcome back, everybody. Excited. Our main interview is going to be with Dori Zori, morning show host and program director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, as we hype up the upcoming Radio Milwaukee Music Awards 2021. Yep. But before we get to that, you know, we always like to check in with y'all. And we got a special reflection this week. Isn't that right, Lindsay?
That's right. You know, we don't yet have our own awards show. Maybe someday. But in our particular Imagine Universe, we are going to celebrate today, very informally, Imagine MKE Awards of the Year. Not necessarily for best artist or best organization, but for some folks that have been close to the work and that have really shown up in an amazing way. We just want to preface that, you know, this is just a thing we came up with for this podcast. So if you're upset that you didn't get an award, we will make up an award for you and correct it on our next podcast recording. So please don't, if we don't mention you, don't be mad. We love you too. And we will celebrate you in another way.
But we do have a culture of continuous celebration here. 100%. That's right. I would also note that there are some awards where we can actually count the number.
That's true. A couple are data driven, not all of them, but a couple.
So if you want to be noted too, you can also take some of we invite you to join us in some of these actions to be in next year's award.
So I actually do want this to be like an award show. So I'm ready to be do my award show presenter banter. So give me the category and I'm ready to step up as if we can rotate around. We can all do our own version. So here we go. So someone be like the MC and go like, and coming up is this award. But
yeah, okay. First up, presenting the award for coolest partnership of the year, Mac Antigua.
Ladies and gentlemen, peanut butter and chocolate, banana and boba, Captain Antoniel. These are all amazing partnerships. I'm excited to tell you today that Imagine is going to recognize some really one of our favorite partnership this year. And the winner is...
for Metcalf Park Painted, the Jewish Community Center, artists working in education, Northwestern Mutual, and Metcalf Park Community Bridges. Supported by artist Linnea Scholes.
Yeah, definitely a little commentary about that one. We've actually got a lovely video about it, but you don't watch that video because you're listening. I think what makes it really powerful is that, you know, in Metcalf Park, I believe the Jewish Community Pantry is on Center Street, which is a really busy street, and they were excited to partner with Artists Working Education and Metcalf Community Bridges to have a mural alongside there, knowing that they wanted to be more part of the community and how that mural represented the images and the people that reside there. And AWA was able to find a powerful artist in Linnea Sproles and put it all together. So it's just all together a really powerful partnership. And I don't know if David or Lindsay, you have anything to add to that.
I think we all got to go attend the unveiling of that mural a couple of months ago. It was right around the Jewish holiday of Sukkot as well. And it was just so welcoming and joyful to sort of see the Jewish Community Pantry folks with Metcalf Park Community Bridges, with all of the other folks who had supported the development of the mural, and to learn about the care that Metcalf Park Community Bridges took in engaging Linnea Sproles in developing this 5-panel mural. It was just such an incredible example of the importance of bringing together community partners to do this sort of work in neighborhoods. It's incredible.
Right. All right.
Up next, the award for Legislator of the Year, presented by David Lee.
This person who's getting the Legislator of the Year award has been such an incredible advocate for arts and culture. He has saved funding for the arts. And we initially actually recognized him back in February by getting a light bulb on the hone dedicated to him. And so we're super excited to actually more, quote unquote, formally give the award for Legislator of the Year to County Supervisor Jason Haas.
Also, you know, very passionate player of Ultima, too. One I want to acknowledge his role-playing game expertise, because my guy almost hijacked the whole interview. He was ready to talk about Ultima as opposed to
when we were going to thank him for directing $700,000 of county funds towards our sector last year. For those of you who may not remember, he wanted to talk more about Ultima.
It was a fun game, by the way. It's phenomenal. All right. Up next, presenting Action Commitment of the Year, Lindsay Sheridan.
Here to Imagine MKE. Action commitments are central to what we do. Every time you come to one of our convenings, we ask you to think about how you're going to take tangible action after. And action commitments, small and big, matter equally here. But we're going to lean towards a bigger action commitment when we think about this award. This award goes to Tom Carrillo of N43 Records. Tom recently attended, he's been an attendee of our marketing PR work group throughout the year. Recently attended a collaborative meeting that we had with marketing PR and public policy, where he talked about how we're going to activate our network around advocacy for American Rescue Plan Act dollars, as you've heard about on the podcast before. And Tom, leaving that meeting, said, you know what, my friends at N43 Records and some friends I work with as frequent collaborators at Creative Northern are game to make a video, and made this just incredible piece that highlights some of those sad stats about the city and state support for the arts. And it's been really cool to be in rooms where we see the reaction to this video, and really could not have asked for a cooler and more effective output from a work group meeting. So pretty awesome action commitment of the year. Next up, presenting the award for Advocate of the Year, David Lee.
So again, this is a 2X award winner. Advocate of the Year, which we are counting on the folks who've written the most personal messages to their elected officials. And I believe this person won last year. But our Advocate of the Year is, once again, Deanna Richardson. Deanna also has a light bulb on the hone because she won this very award last year as well. So thank you again, Deanna, for being such an incredible Deanna, not to be confused with our board chair, who's also done incredible stuff for our organization.
Also named
but Deanna Richardson.
Yeah. A lot of pretty great Deannas in our network.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just hope that Deanna Richardson is recovering from carpal tunnel for all the letters.
All those messages
Deanna's written.
A lot of clicking, a lot of typing.
A lot of clicking and typing. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Finally, with our last award of the evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening, for Imagineer of the Year, presented by Mac Antigua.
You know, people think that the work of Imagine is just done by the six people that you see on the website. That is far from true. In order to make any of this stuff happen, we lean on our network. We hope we inspire our network to take action, as you've heard some of them recognize. And there are some folk who not just do the action, but they also show up consistently and across different roles and different paths. We want to recognize this person who not only participates in the marketing work group, not only participates in the public policy work group, but also steps up to take action on advocacy, as well as co-hosts a podcast on the StreamYard talking about Milwaukee theater. I'm excited to recognize and celebrate Jamie Lynn Gray as an Imagineer of the Year. Jamie Lynn, thanks for being so present, and thanks for energizing and being so active. Celebrating you. Well, that was fun giving out awards.
Very real awards. Very,
very real awards. Very authentic awards. That's right. And we'll maybe another time we'll do senior superlatives, like most likely to succeed or best dressed. Maybe that'll be another pod we'll do that. Mm-hmm. Best teeth. All right. Well, actually, let's pivot and let's go to our guest who's actually talking about awards. Our guest started in 1990 as a volunteer DJ at WMSE while working full-time jobs to pay the bills as an insurance claim processor to a mortgage banker in to fragrance sales with Ralph Lauren, but then got into full-time community radio and has moved up the ladder, ultimately getting now in the role of morning show host as well as program director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. After the break, one of the smoothest voices you'll hear in the 414, it's Dory Zori.
Welcome to the pod, Dory. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks, Lindsay. I'm very excited and flattered that you guys wanted to talk to me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, I mean, I think this might be the most intimidating podcast guest we have in a way, because you are a true audio interview professional. And who are we really?
We are rank amateurs. We are literally in our basements. We're in our basements doing this. And it looks like, again, this is an audio pod, not a visual. It looks like you're in some exotic locale. You're like a radio, you know, version of James Bond in a way, right? You're doing something.
You know, I'm on my couch. I've got my fancy lights that I've had since lockdown in the background. So, you know, a lot of people I know put on fancy backgrounds. I just have lights that change colors and flicker with my moods.
Some have mood rings. You have mood LEDs. You got the mood LED happening. All right. Well, we'll do a good job of trying to note at any time if the mood changes. You'll just hear a voice that's like, it's now mauve. The color is now mauve.
I'll turn it to flashing red when I hear a question.
Yeah, well, no. We will know for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. We're so excited to have you on. It is a privilege to have the host of the morning drive at 88.9 on our humble airwaves. You are now on the 199th ranked arts and culture podcast in the country. So I think you're going to get us at least to the mid 180s after this. We're excited to have us help.
Well, Dory, we are have you here because we're going to dig into all about the Radio Milwaukee Music Awards. But before we get to that, I want to ask you to share a little bit about yourself. And so start with, tell us about an arts and culture experience in your past, could be when you were young or could be recent, that really had a strong imprint on you.
You know, I grew up in Milwaukee and I've been a part of community radio since I was in my early 20s. I started out at WMSE. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, we were really great partners with Alverno College and David Ravel, who put on this fine arts series called Alverno Presents. Mm-hmm. And I would go to the college to watch, you know, they had ballet, they had music, they had up and coming artists or newer artists like Andrew Bird. They had this really beautiful dance. So I kind of got hooked by going to these different presentations. And then after a couple years, David had this idea of how can we use the talent here in Milwaukee to create original content here that maybe then could travel around to other universities and places in the city. And he came up with this series called Uncovered. And I believe the first one was highlighting the music of American songwriter, Stephen Foster, who wrote—
Oh, yeah.
Camptown Races, Beautiful Dreamer, but I think he died like broken penniless because he got screwed out of his copyrights for songs. So what he did was he worked with a local band, Juniper Tar, to put together the series based on the music of Stephen Foster. They then reached out to their friend network, which really extended beyond Milwaukee, and they put together this really interesting show of cover music, reimagined, remixed, and within that they wove in stories. And the first time I saw one of those series, it just kind of cracked my mind open, not only to what arts and entertainment can look like, but the fact that it can be created here with the immense talent we have in the city. Mm-hmm. And then that thing just grew where then he would tap a different person or an artist or a band in the city to cover the songs of Patti Smith. There was one about Prince. There was one about Marvin Gaye. There was one about Quincy Jones. And these, as they grew more in popularity, they found more sponsors with bigger budgets. And these things just turned into like one of my favorite nights of the I think, you know, Alverno Presents had to shut down after 13 years because as a lot of colleges were looking at budgets, it was something that they couldn't sustain. And then the Pabst Theater Group kind of partnered up with David and I think put on like one or two more before lockdown. But the arts and cultural experience, to see it kind of grow from the beginning, was a really beautiful thing. And it made me think, we have so many talented people in the city, whether artists, musicians, producers, and they can put together like world-class shows like this. I just wanted to be a part of it. Of course, I have no talent, so I just talked about it on the radio. That's what that was one of the special things. And I really hope now that COVID is starting to, as the world returns slowly back to normal, if these series could continue somehow, I think they're so special.
But you know, I'm thinking about that story, Dory, and I'm pondering that, like, that's sort of the role you play for the city is like, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard, like, that's kind of what you, was that anybody your version of that, like growing up or like, you know, around, like, hey man, have you heard about this? Cause I got to imagine even the best sort of, you know, cultural shepherds like yourself, you got to check out this, this unique piece about, you know, Stephen Foster who died. But I'm like, I would never have known to do that. And a city's vibrancy thrives on folks like you who are like ambassadors of that. I was wondering, who was an ambassador like that to you, or anyone else who's like an ambassador like that to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer hands down is public radio. For me, I discovered WMSC when I was still in high school. You know, I had tuned into the left-hand side of the dial, stopped at the half static music station. And I got to 91.7 and I heard music and voices talking about radio in a way that I had never heard on commercial radio. And it blew my mind and it got me really excited. And so, before I had a job as a DJ starting at WMSE, I listened all the time. And then once I had that, you know, once a week show, I was just immersed in the culture of community radio, because not only were there volunteer DJs introducing everyone to music, but you had this wall of music you'd pick from. And those conversations started there. And I'm so lucky, like decades later, to be in the position I am now as morning show host and music director at a station that is also very community minded. 88.9 is totally different than WMSC, but the vibe and the goal in the community and the sharing of what's cool is what I love so much. Mm. And it's with both stations still. So Milwaukee's have both.
I'm also just thinking about it in the point of history. I mean, radio is such a, you know, streaming, you know, and all the things. It's like, you know, like you caught radio. I think you probably emerged when Clear Channel was starting to emerge, right? And like that sort of started just to unify the one playlist that came out of Texas. And that's all we're going to listen to in society almost, right? And like you almost caught, it was almost like you're catching like this hobo catching a train. Like you caught this community radio and like, hey, you know, while the rest of us sort of listened to the same five artists all the time, right? And so maybe we got older on our own and discovered a community radio. It hit you at a time, which I don't know a lot of people in there, you know, at that age might've caught it. So I don't, that's what I'm struck by that.
No, you're right. I was impressionable. I always loved the radio. I still love commercial radio, but discovering public radio was such a game changer for me and continues to do so. And we talk about the future of radio all the time.
Yeah.
And I know stations like ours, local stations that really focus on Milwaukee or the city that they're in, they're going to withstand the test of time if they can change, you know, and meet people where they're at with the technology and how people listen. I think decades from now, to still have radio that is focused on teaching people and including people in what happens in their own city.
Well, and so much of what the value of a radio station like Radio Milwaukee brings and your role within it is that you get to be the tastemaker and you get to be like the cool best friend. to Mac's point, your name shows up in his email all the time. Maybe he really does feel like he knows you, but you know, even if it's like a distant best friend, like people get to tune in and they learn about music and community stories that they wouldn't otherwise. So I'm curious, is there such an abundance of music coming your way through just constant like artists sending you your stuff and whatnot that you feel like there's never any shortage of it? Or do you find that you are like, oh, we don't quite have something that fits this niche, and you go out seeking for music to introduce to the audience? Like, tell me about that interplay.
Yeah, at 88.9, it's really a combination of both. We get serviced a lot of music. We get introduced to a lot of music from artist management, artists directly and labels. And there's really way too much. I have a separate folder, all of that goes in. And every week there's like hundreds and hundreds of emails about new music from bands that, you know, putting out new music, but then like all the up and comers, right? So it's a little overwhelming. There's no way you can listen to it all. And that's why at 88.9, we have a team of people. Everyone who's in the programming department contributes to listening to music. We've got a weekly music meeting on Mondays where everyone brings in songs. We listen to them for like 90 seconds without knowing who the artist is. So you're not kind of using your preconceived notions of, I don't like this artist, so I'm going to give this a bad score. But we just listen to it with ears like, is this a sound that we haven't heard yet? Is this a song that's not a sound that's not played out? Is this exciting to us? Is this something that has a message that we want to share with the listeners? Mm-hmm. And there's always more music that happens in that meeting than we can actually play. Once in a while, like, we have to dig on our own for stuff. And I'm lucky I'm surrounded by friends and family that love music too. So our listeners also get a part to play a part in this. Our members come to these sound judgment panels once a month where they get to vote on music that we're not sure about adding. Mm. So it really like takes a village to do this. But yeah, there's way too much music to get to it all. And it's kind of sad because sometimes you have to leave your favorites kind of behind, but then you don't really, like, you listen to them on your own time, or I play a song on my specialty show, or yeah, it's really great. The exciting thing though is when you hear music and it's just that next like genre of artists like that are coming up that are smushing together three different kinds of music in a way you've never heard before. And then that light bulb moment goes off in that room when we're listening to stuff, everyone. And then that's like the really exciting stuff when we get to drop stuff in the regular rotation that is like fresh and new.
Well,
I will hear a song though, and I don't know if we'll put this part in the end, but there are moments where you can hear 90 seconds of a song and know you're probably okay if you don't listen.
Oh,
that happens more, but we're all pretty open-minded.
Well, I mean, I think that's what you're saying. I mean, I think it's a fine line, right? You've only got so much time, right, to devote this. So, and you've got a trained ear in a way, you know what you like, you know what connects. And so there's almost like a first impression, right? Like there's almost something like, if it doesn't grab you in that 90 seconds, it's almost like those the judges on The Voice. Like, I don't blame them. They know what they're looking for. if it doesn't happen, it's okay. It's just not that day, right? And I think that's what you're saying, at least for that track.
Yeah. And one of the most magical things that happen in those meetings, I would rather have people say, I don't know if I love that song or hated it. I want to listen to it
again. Yeah.
And everyone just, you can tell halfway through, they just like pick up their phone or they just kind of tune out a little bit. Yeah. So I'd rather have those songs where I'm like, I don't know if this is the best or worst thing I ever heard. Like, that's
yeah. Yeah. It's not boring. It's not boring.
It's not boring.
It challenges you in some way. Yeah.
That's the Project Runway rule, by the way. Whatever you create, just don't let it be boring. Because once it's boring, then you're gone. Yeah. So there's something, so Tim Gunn. Thank you, Tim Gunn. I know it's not boring. Whoever's going to be winning the Radio Milwaukee Awards happening December 15th, 2021, presented by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin with support by St. Kate, the Arts Hotel. I can read a promo. I'm excited for this because it's so cool that this is happening, right? Because this didn't happen last year.
No. Right?
So tell us the story, Dora, about the awards, namely perhaps the origin story a little bit and what it was like to not have it and what we're looking at this year in 2021.
The Radio Milwaukee Music Awards kind of started one of the first years we were on air. So it was before my time, but I remember listening to it. It was in 2008. It was a way to just really take that commitment that Radio Milwaukee has to the local music scene and figure out a fun way to recognize it more. And, you know, there's a lot of award shows that already existed that are really great. But what they wanted to do back then was fill a void between an award show that was 100% voted on by listeners or fans. And the Shepherd Express does an award show that is powered by fans. And it's really awesome because then you get like a good idea of like what people are into. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the whammies on the other end where it's a group of industry people kind of judging it from that critical ear. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have a combination of both. So that's kind of how the Radio Milwaukee Music Awards were started. Mm-hmm. A combination of listeners putting their, you know, their opinions in first, and then us at 88 and I getting to decide as well and have our votes heard. So it started out as an old timey kind of radio show on the air. And after a couple of years, it got a lot of attention and got a lot of love, obviously. So then it moved as like a physical show. I think first it was at the Mad Planet. And then it was at a venue that I can't think of that no longer exists downtown. But the last couple of years, we had it at Turner Hall Ballroom. And then we moved into our old building or new building back in 2014. And then we had it in our own space. Mm. So, but then it outgrew the old space right before COVID. And we had plans to have it back at Turner again, or maybe had 1 year at Turner. 2019 was such a long time.
Yes, it was.
But the cool thing about how it has grown is it's really became this connection point we found where we could bring artists in, we could bring brands in, like the sponsors, local venue owners and business owners all in one roof. And so instead of just like celebrating the artist and the top songs or albums or artwork of the year, which is also really fun, but subjective, we were able to see these connections being made mm-hmm. by having this all under one roof. So it was really wonderful to see that. And so when we had to not do that in 2020, it was really, really rough. So we're excited now to do it again. We're going back to the very first way of doing it, which was an old timey radio show. We had to plan this ahead of time. We wanted to have it back out at Turner again, but we didn't know what was going to happen. So Wednesday, the 15th of December from 6 to 9 p.m., we're going to play all the finalists for each category. We're going to announce the winners live on air. We've got our sponsors that recorded great messages. And then from 5:30 to 6 p.m. before the show, we're doing this Facebook live stream where we're going to show the music videos. I'm going to host it. We're going to show the album artwork and Aaron Bagan, our marketing department, who is an artist. We're just going to have like we're going to set a 90-second timer, an 88-second timer, put all the finalists for album artwork on, and we're going to talk about it and then announce the winners. So cool. We're trying to make it fun for the times that we're in, but man, I cannot wait till we're all back out in public.
Well, we, thanks to a lovely invitation from your colleagues, we're excited to be a community awards sponsor, which means that our colleague David went in and recorded an intro to the music video award, which we felt like was pretty fitting for a team of real music and music video nerds. We were excited to have just that tiny part to play in the awards.
Thank you so much for partnering up with us. That is going to be super duper fun. And you know, when your job one day is to sit in a room with everyone you work with and just watch the list of the listeners' top finalists 20 music videos, how cool of a day is that at work? I wish we could have all of them, because we've got some creative people, not only artists making the music, but then the people they team up with to make these video representations. I'm the MTV generation, so I still love music videos.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you get to not just be a DJ, you get to play out the VJ part of it too for that Facebook Live. You get to, are you more Kennedy? Are you more like Downtown Julie Brown? Are you more Nina Blackwood? Are you more Tabitha Soren? What's the aspect? Are you Kurt Loder? Infield? Lindsay being of a certain generation, she's like, who are these people you're talking
right
about?
Over my head, right
you're
over.
Like, but who are you? What's going on?
I would like to say I'm like the fun and like energy of Downtown Julie Brown. I'm not a news person. I like to have fun. I like to love everything, but it's authentic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks for that walk down memory lane.
Wow.
I do have to say, Dory, I visited a friend in LA once, and he's like, oh, we're having lunch with my friends. They're both taking improv classes together, because that's how I knew him through improv. And turned out to be Damien Fahey, who was a VJ. And I'm like, I was like sitting on my hands the whole time, like trying not to fanboy out, like, because he was just a totally chill guy and totally great. And but yeah, I got you. Like, if I had to have lunch with someone, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably be like, you know, freaking out. Thank you, talking about. Anyway,
we got a new car this year with like free Sirius Radio for 3 months, and the first I found was the one that Nina Blackwood hosts. So not only was it playing like old school 80s music, but just her voice just brought me back to like everything I learned from her and her punk rock slash style. I appreciate Nina Blackwood more as an adult as I did as a teenager.
And I think I'd be Alan Hunter. I think that'd be me, Alan Hunter. All right. So moving on. Now that there's one segment of our listening audience is actually enjoying, you know, they're like, where's MTV on my cable package? And then everyone's like, that's the channel that just plays ridiculousness. Like,
yeah, they don't play anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Not doing videos. Tell us, we didn't speak to this. Tell us about what does it mean to have a community sponsor a little bit? Because I understand they're kind of spots. Can you speak to like what that is and sort of what makes this award sort of unique in that way? Because I know we're one of them, but.
Yeah, the community sponsors, I mean, there's a little bit of financial investment in the sponsorship. Yeah. This isn't a fundraising event for us in that kind of way. But I think the community sponsor just speaks to our mission too. And it pulls in people that we're partners with throughout the year and gives us a way to highlight organizations like St. Kate or Educators Credit Union or Imagine MKE and kind of pull you into the fold to give you a little bit more of a highlight and a platform where you guys are doing really good work all year long. So now you can be a part of this party with us. So that's really important. I think in years past too, the community sponsors have provided like small little packages of like a gift certificate or a goodie or extra recognition for the artist. So it's really just building on that sense of community. The more, the merrier is how I've always been. Mm-hmm. So whether it's like a party or an event, the more people we can get on board, like in the same place, having the same vision and mission and fun, I think it makes our city stronger.
I'm really excited to announce that our contribution to the prize package is David Lee, our CEO, will be doing foot rubs for the winners. So it's a little coupon, like a little index card that says good for one foot rub, and the cash in, he's got to come over and you know, work on them toes. So we're excited. Thanks for letting us offer that up.
Not weird at all.
No, not weird at all. I think totally. What's odd that he suggested it? And I'm like, all right, I guess we'll write it up and we'll put it in. We'll see what 89 says. You guys were like, yeah, shrug. Fine. I mean,
they're on their feet all the time. I'm sure they could use a good foot rub.
You know, who doesn't need a good foot rub? The voting closed at November 28th. Right, Dory, right? The voting closed already.
Yeah, voting closed.
So nothing, no, sorry, listeners, you can't affect. This is in the books. That's it's right. Going to be announced. And we know you're not selecting a winner per se, right? It's a complicated math algorithm that determines all this, like a lot of people involved. But were there certain nominees that you're like, ooh, I'm so excited to see this there. That was so neat. You know, obviously you like them all. But were there any particular ones that really tickled you or like, oh, that's so cool that they made?
You know, I think to answer that question, I'm going to go back a little bit into our playlist. And we've put more Milwaukee artists into our regular rotation than any other year instead of just the Milwaukee music category. And I think that had a real effect on the nominations. Like people, our listeners got more exposed to these Milwaukee songs and almost every single artist. And they put out really good records this year. That's why they were in the heavier rotation. But seeing bands like Telethon and Gego Inone and Buffalo Nichols, who got a record contract this year, first solo blues artist signed to Fat Possum Records in 20 years.
Wow.
I was really excited to see, like, you know, the listeners really do listen. And then they get to know the musicians and then they get to be part of the repertoire. So that was really exciting. But my most favorite category to kind of answer your question is we've got this thing called Best Disc We Missed. There's no way we can be on top of everything that happens. There's only so much time in a day. So going through the Best Disc We Missed category and seeing all these bands that I was like, oh, I heard of them, but we didn't get to them. Or what? Who are these people? Going back, listening to their Bandcamp pages and thinking this would have fit in perfectly. This is super dope. This is more than so although it is late in the afternoon and I can't remember our five finalists right now. All five finalists. And the cool thing about the category like this is we go through that list and we make sure that we add those bands into the list for next year. And then not just the listeners are helping grow that dedication to Milwaukee music. So that's my favorite category, to be honest with you. The other stuff is really cool, but personally, Low Resort's album Vacation made it onto my top 10 albums of the year. And that's the only local artist that my top 10 albums that was full of, you know, Little Sims and Duran Duran. There's a yeah.
Love it. Well, I got to check that out. If that's who's in the company. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many to name, and it's like naming off your kids, but best disc we missed was one of the smartest categories. I think we put in there because we gained so much from that.
So is it just mean you missed in 20 the year? So you actually went back to the previous year? You actually go back, or is it just, sort of popped?
Yeah.
How does that work? Cause yeah. that is a fascinating concept. I like.
Yeah, I think it's just, so the awards are based on music that was released the previous year.
Gotcha. So therefore, yeah, literally, okay.
Yeah, but just stuff that might not have been in as heavy rotation on 88.9 or might have been under the radar a bit for people that are active music fans. Yeah,
I love
that's
it.
Cool.
Musicians didn't know they had a channel to submit their music to us, or, you know, they were doing their own thing and didn't really think about radio, which... totally respect that too. Everyone has their own journey, but now we have our little hands on their music. And so now they're going to get radio airplay. And if it helps them out, wonderful. And if it doesn't, it helps us spread more Milwaukee music love. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we got to tune into your Facebook live stream. We got to tune into the radio for the awards. Excited about all of that. I think I want to turn to zooming out a bit and asking you our standard question, which is, if you were the czar of arts and culture for Milwaukee for a few minutes, just totally, what's the word I'm looking for? Unhinged, total power. Could do whatever you want. You know, what would you do? In service of arts and culture, in service of music in Milwaukee, what kind of policy or power would you change?
Ooh, I love this question. I kind of think about this once in a while when the lottery gets really big, I buy a ticket and I start dreaming of what I would do. And it always truly includes the answer to the question that you just answered. What I would do is I would make sure that there were funds in the city to build a complex that was free, safe, and clean rehearsal spaces for bands.
Mm-hmm.
Allow bands to connect, to have, first of all, spaces where they could go. Because rehearsal spaces, if you know bands, every band has a story. And, you know, there's a lot of rehearsal spaces where ceilings are falling in. And bands, you know, kind of embrace, like, the crappiness of rehearsals. Mm-hmm. But how great would it be to have this complex in the city where artists could come, whether they're just starting out or they've been around forever and just need a good place to practice, where not only they can have that, but then they can mingle and there's common spaces with other artists or producers, or they could hold, you know, monthly meetings where everyone just kind of comes in and talks about a subject that's important to them, like insurance or how to get your songs on Spotify or how to promote yourself at a radio station in a good way. So I would love mission not only a space like that for artists in the city, but then do something like I think Canada and Australia have, where they fund artists to get out of their country and go tour around the world, and they provide them with money to handle their expenses while they're gone. They pay for them. They pay for that van to put them out on the road. So I think if we as we value arts and culture like that, if we could, you know, filter some of that money into promoting artists in a way where they didn't have to have it as their second job, I think the city would be better off for it. I think the artists would maybe tend to stay in the city. That helps promote them and support them. So that's what I would do. I'd find some plot of land and start building and help fund artists to live their dreams, because life is so short and there's so much art out there to be made. And I just think, like, what are we missing from people that can't afford to stop working at their day jobs to make the art?
I love it. I love it. I'm thinking of like the city of the Milwaukee as the ultimate A&R agent. it's kind of like thinking about that, right? Like,
yeah,
I thought about it that way, but that's pretty awesome.
If you have a thriving music culture in your city, that is going to bring young people to the city that work in all sorts of different fields. And then you have young people with that energy in your city, you're building neighborhoods, you're building more local businesses. You have an opportunity to open a local shop that someone's going to walk down the street in their neighborhood to go shop at. And it just keeps money in the city and just makes it more vibrant. So, mm-hmm. you know, much like Austin, or, you know, when you think of Minneapolis or New York mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, a group of bands come to mind. I really want that for Milwaukee, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. hard. It's an uphill battle. And when I do ever hit the lottery, I am putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm starting something. I'm starting some kind of foundation.
Wow. Well, you know what? Even though your reign was short, it was very glorious. And we are committed to carry on the legacy of that, which is how do we have a thriving, you know, a thriving scene of amazing artists, right? Continuing to create and create in the spirit of the city that they're in, right? And the culture that mm-hmm. is here, the rich culture that is here, and telling that story. And someday our progeny will look back and like, ah, yes, the Milwaukee scene that generated...
Yeah. Insert multiple famous artists here.
Probably those that have won the awards this year.
Yeah.
We also, Dory, get to add one more question in that's only for our December guests, because we're turning a new calendar year. So what are you taking with you into 2022, and what are you leaving behind 2021?
Oh, man. You know, I didn't really, gosh, that's hard. I think what I'm taking into 2022 is that I think I'm a little stronger than I think I am. We've all faced so much as far as change goes in the last couple of years. And I have reconnected with so many people that within my family and that live across the country, because we were forced to do it. We're so lonely in a way like Zoom. I'd never used Zoom before. So what I'm kind of taking into 2022 is remembering the importance of personal connections, because life can pass you by so fast and you put off spending time with people that you care about. 2021 caused us to slow down a little bit there, but I'm also embracing this technology and staying connected to people. And I don't think that's ever going to change for me now. I'm very excited about that. And I just hope to leave behind stress and anxiety that everyone felt the last couple of years. So, you know, just leave little breadcrumbs of that, so I don't forget exactly, you know, how I got to this point now, but also I'm ready to start going back to concerts. Fully masked. I'm cool with that. So those are some things I'm looking forward to in 2022. But I think if you didn't grow in some way from this last couple of years, I don't know. You're doing something wrong, or my heart goes out to you because you were in some deep, deep stuff. Reflect on like the hardest times and then pull something good out of it.
Yeah.
Don't blame people that don't have anything good to answer for that question. But I would guess people probably feel the same way, you know, moving forward, staying connected to people, sharing what you love with people. And music is kind of like that international language for people. That it's easy for you to share music with people. That's what I've been doing. Like I think of somebody, instead of like reaching out and texting, I send them a song that reminds
me. Oh, that's so sweet. Okay. I'm going to steal that.
We're going to steal that.
That's what I'm going to take into 2022. That's right. Oh,
you don't even have to give an explanation, because that song is going to strike up those memories with the person you're thinking about. And it's going to be like this little moment. And it's like getting surprise postcard in the mail from someone that's not even on vacation. They were just thinking of you. So do it with music.
Oh.
I like that PSA at the end. That's the way you build. And again, thanks so much for taking the time for that. I'm already thinking of like, what are the first five songs I'm going to send out to people? That's going to be my action step after this.
Yeah.
Dory, how can our audience find you? It's probably a little easier to answer this compared to some other guests, but we're going to go through the motions anyway. How can our audience find you?
Where could they possibly hear your voice ever again?
Somebody like you, Dory.
Well, I am on the air every day morning from 6 to 10 a.m. as the morning show host at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. If you're not in the city, thanks to technology, we've got an app so you can literally listen anywhere in the world. You know, make your time zone adjustments for Milwaukee time. And then our building is slowly opening up again, and I'm really excited. You can find me at our events that we'll be having. I love meeting listeners in person too. So you can hear me on the radio. You can find me at events. And if there's any local musicians out there that haven't had luck getting their songs on the air yet, they can email me directly, Dori, D-O-R-I, at radiomilwaukee.org. The more music we get, the better we sound.
Man, I'm going to read my emails with a new light.
Because your emails from Dori.
My emails from Dori, because they just got that refresher. So delightful. And I think she's like the perfect ambassador for music in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I had to cast someone from Central Casting, it's Dori Zori.
Yeah, it was really cool to talk to her and have that moment of these voices you hear on the radio are real people. To get to know her a little bit better, also to hear those moments of like, there's the radio voice. Pretty fascinating. And I was a little intimidated to interview a real radio professional, but I'm grateful that we had the opportunity.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I'm excited for the awards, and I'm so glad that they're coming back this year. And again, best of luck to the nominees. You're all worthy and deserving. And look forward to celebrating you all on December 15th. You know who else is worthy of celebration?
Our listeners.
Yes, 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 yes. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the pod and like to support it, please share it with others. Post about it on social media, leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by Lindsay Sheridan, MacArthur Antigua, and David Lee, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network.
Our podcast theme was produced by Maximum Bobby, Bobby Drake. Make sure you also listen, subscribe, as well as check out back episodes of Black Imagination and Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up at Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE, or Facebook or LinkedIn, imagine_MKE. Or head over to imaginemke.org and sign up for The Amplifier, our bi-weekly update in your email inbox.
Tune in next Tuesday when we will have a special set of guests, that is some familiar voices, as well as some other fellow voices from the Imagine MKE team. Until then.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Imagine This Podcast. It is a balmy 42 degrees outside. And I know I don't mean to be a weather person about it, but I just feel that it doesn't feel like December. It doesn't feel like the season.
Do you think it's because of the unusually warm weather that's affecting your internet speed, Mac?
It is. I think that's, I'm going to blame the weather on my internet speed.
That's so, it. The internet wire is getting a little too heated up out there.
Too much heated up. There's actually, it's like the Flintstones. There's a little pterodactyl on a wheel and he's like spinning the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
The Flintstones was a cartoon, Lindsay, that featured the life, Stone Age life.
And thank you.
It was a documentary about Stone Age life.
It was a documentary about Stone Age life. It was also animated. It was also animated. He had a car where the bottom was no floor, and he walked, which is kind of a weird concept for a car when you think about it. But none of us questioned it at the time. None of us like thought, well, that's a dumb idea.
No, that was, I don't know about you, but I thought it was ingenious, right? Because you're using the car, you got to run. And then you bring your family with you.
Just think about his poor feet.
I know.
Just the tread on his feet. How does he not just have stumps after a while? It's just awful. It's just awful design.
Did the whole family run, or was it just the driver?
That's it. You'd think that Bam Bam and Pebbles would contribute a little bit
That's right.
to that.
That's right.
You'd think. Well, anyways,
especially because Bam Bam's so strong, right? Like Bam Bam should get him.
You know, at least Bam Bam could have done is took his cudgel. And just like on at least on one side, just drag it like an oar just like propel the family.
Just go around in a circle.
By the way, Bam Bam was on their family. You know what, David? Bam Bam was on their family. Bam Bam was on their family. He was the Rubbles kid.
He was the Rubble kid. That's right.
So you'd have to borrow your neighbor's kid. Can I borrow you to help propel my vehicle? Hey, listener. Welcome to talking about the Flintstones, our new sub pod. That's based on this pod.
Are the Flintstones due for a reboot?
It could be
like
a reboot.
Sounds like you guys are ready to make a pitch.
But it'd have to have like a prehistoric like arts and culture organization in it, right? Like imagine
Wherever they lived.
Yeah, wherever they lived.
From the town of Bedrock.
Bedrock. Imagine BDR.
BDR. Imagine VDR. And then there's like, there's versions of us, right? There's an analog of us. I'm the senior director of Collective Rock Collection.
Collective Rock Quarrying.
That checks out.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, you know.
Let's figure out how to do that.
From mining for good ideas to mining for rock. To
survive. Out of the salt mines and into the rock mines.
Rock mines.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
What would David's role be in Flintstone? Imagine BDR.
Imagine BDR, which is in the Flintstones universe. It's in the Flintstones cinematic, the FCU, the Flintstones cinematic universe. It just exists.
I'm that guy who's Jason. Like, who's sitting at the top of the Stegosaurus, like with the
stogie in your mouth, the cigar in your mouth,
yeah,
the cigar in your mouth on one side.
Looking up at the sky, like, doesn't look good today, guys. Doesn't look good. Or I see beyond the chasm that there's another land over there. If we can just make it over this,
if we can just make it over this rock quarry.
There. Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay.